Today's shiur is Masechet Zvach of Daf Samach Tes. We will begin on Daf Samach Ches Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom, V'neilif Mibama. As we have been learning in our recent shiurim, the halach is that a nevelis oif tahar, the nevela of a kosher bird, if somebody eats that nevela, metama beis habliya. When the nevela is in someone's beis habliya, he becomes tamei. Not only he becomes tamei, as we discussed in our previous shiur, but even the clothing he wears becomes tamei. The Mishnah that we learned in the previous shiur teaches us that even in certain situations, let's first say the obvious rule, if a bird was brought as a carbon, and the halach is that when a bird is brought as a carbon, shechita should not be done, malika should be done, and the malika was done properly, so the malika obviously substitutes for the shechita, and therefore that bird will not at all be considered a nevela, that it should be metama. The question that our Mishnah discussed was where the malika was done improperly. And obviously there are a lot of definitions of the word improperly, which is actually the focus of the shiur we're going to learn today. When the malika was done improperly, the question is, will that bird be considered a nevela that's metama abeis habliya? And the Mishnah essentially taught us the following rule. The Mishnah taught us that if the malika accomplished so much that the bird, even though it was not offered properly, can remain on the mizbeach if it was put on the mizbeach, im olo lo yered, then the halach is that that bird would not be metama beis habliya. If, however, the malika was so ineffective that that bird cannot remain on the mizbeach, the halach is that that malika cannot accomplish anything, and it will be metama beis habliya. And the Gemara began, after the Mishnah, with the statement of Rav, who differentiated between small v'layla, if the malika was done with the left hand, or the malika was done at night, both obviously disqualifications, that the halacha still is, that such a malika will not be metama beis habliya, versus if the malik was done by a zor, by a non-kayin, or the malik was done with a sakin with a knife, that malik will be considered totally ineffective at metama beis habliya. And the Gemara asked a question from different precedents in halacha, why we should make this distinction. And now the Gemara asks, v'neilu mibalma, why are we saying, asked the Gemara, that the malika of a zor is so totally ineffective? Why don't we learn from a bama, where we know that the avodah was allowed to be done on a bama by a Yisrael, by a zor? Isn't that a clear indication that the avodah of a zor is not to be considered totally meaningless? Answers the Gemara, mibalef lo yalef. We don't learn halachas that apply in the Beis HaMikdash from the bama. That's Pashup Shat. Rashi, as the Mefarshim explained the opinion of Rashi, Masech the Menachos has a very interesting approach. Rashi says that the Gemara is assuming that we should learn from the Bama before Aaron was appointed, Aaron and his family were appointed Kohanim, that we see at that point that that Kohuna is not a criteria, because at that point anybody could do the Avoida, to which the Gemara answers, Mibama La Yalef, the halach is that we don't learn from the Bama, where once the Kohanim were appointed. That pshat is a difficult pshat, however, the Mefarshim point out. Because the halacha is that in different periods of our history, where the Bama was permitted, there was no rule that the Avodah had to be done from a Kohen, by a Kohen. So why can't we learn from a Bama? So Mefarshim, in trying to defend Rashi's pshat, say as follows. There were, even in the periods of history where bamas were permitted, there were two types of bama. There was a bama katana and a bama gedoyla. And on a bama gedoyla, a Yisrael was never allowed to do the avodah. And therefore they want to suggest that what Rashi means in learning the Gemara, we can't learn from a bama that is Yisrael could do the avodah. Because only on a bama katana May Yisrael do the avodah, not on a bama gedolah. Ask the Gemara, v'loy, is this a rule that we can't learn halacha from a bama? V'tanya, ask the Gemara, menayin liyotzei. We know that once kachim are brought into the Azara, and the avodah begins with the kachim, they may not be taken out of the Azara. How do we know that if such an event occurred, where kachim were taken out of the Azara, that the halacha is Shem Ola, that if somebody does go bring such, does put such a carbon on the Mizbeach, the halacha is Lo Yered? The answer is, Shemirayitza, Kosher Bama. We use Bama as a precedent. Obviously, by a Bama, there's no concept of an Azara, because a Bama could be constructed, erected anywhere. So we see that there is no concern of Yoytze by a Bama. That is the reason why Shem Ola Lo Yered, even on the Mizbeach. So we see that we do learn from Bama. What is the Gemara saying? We don't learn halachas that apply in the base of Mikdash and the Mizbeach from the Bama. Answers the Gemara, that isn't the reason why if something was taken out of the Azara, the halachas Shem Ola Lo Yered. Tana, the reason why Yoytze, something taken out of the Azara, should not, if put on the Mizbeach, remains there, is for a different reason altogether, because the Pasuk says, Zois Teres Ola Samach. Like, he relies on that Pasuk to teach us Yoytze shall remain on the Mizbech if it was put there. So we've learned the opinion of Rav. The Rav says that if a Zor did the Malika, it's considered a meaningless act. The bird is considered a full-fledged Nevela. That's Metama Beis Abliya. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan, a Zor ain't Metama Beis Abliya. That if a Zor did the Avoida, it would not be Metama Beis Abliya. There's actually a Machloikis. Why? Rashi says the reason Rabbi Yochanan is lenient by a Zor is because we find, as we just discussed, that by a Bama they were lenient. Others say since Shechita, since the halacha of Shechita is not limited to Kachim, it applies by Chulin. The halacha is that a Zor could do the could obviously shecht an animal to eat it. Therefore, we could be more lenient when it comes to the avoid of Zoros. What would be the nafkamina? The Mefarshim explain. According to Rashi, that's learning from Obama, what would be the halacha of a koyim bal mum did the malika? So according to Rashi, it learns from Obama, the halacha is that even on Obama, bal mum may not do the avoida. So therefore, according to Rashi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if a bal mum did the Malika, that would be a Nevela. According to Tosfos, since Tosfos treats the entire act of killing the bird leniently, it doesn't make a difference if a Zor kills the bird or a Balmum kills the bird. So again, Rabbi Yochanan, Zor, Eimetama Beis Abliya. However, Sakin, if the Malika was done by a knife instead of the fingernail of the Kohen, there the halacha is, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees, Metama Beis Abliya. Interesting vart that I saw from Reb Zalman Sorotskin in Sefer Maznaim L'Torah. He says, here we see how strict the Torah is that a bird that's a carbon has to be killed strictly through Malika, not through Shechita. Why does the Torah make this distinction? Obviously, it only causes us questions. We know the way a bird is supposed to be killed. If somebody wants to eat a chicken, we do Shechita. Why all of a sudden in the Beis HaMikdash did the Torah come up with this new procedure called Malika? So he says a very interesting vart. We've basically said this vart to a degree previously. Typically an animal carbon, who brings? A wealthy person was able to afford to buy an animal. And we also have learned that when somebody brings a carbon, what he really is supposed to think and even perhaps verbalize is that whatever is happening to this animal should have happened to me. So here we have a wealthy person who has everything going for him, and he's saying, I should die, I should have really died like this animal is dying. A very powerful emotion. A poor person, says Rav Zalman Sorotskin, whose life is very difficult for, he's the person that brings the oif. And he may think to himself, you know what? What do I have to survive? What do I have to live for? I have such a difficult life. So they do the killing of the bird with Malika. And as we're learning, Malika is not such a easy way of killing a bird, and it's not so nice. We pierce the back of the bird to show him death is not always an option. Live and live a good life. Says the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Kol psulin shemalku milukasim psula, that if somebody is disqualified and he does a malika, the malika is disqualified. But it'll accomplish so much that it will not be matama beis abliya. Bishlam and Rabbi Yochanan. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who's that call coming to include? Kol asu yizar. It's coming to include that even if a zar did the malika, it's going to be fine. However, asked the Gemara l'Rav, according to Rav, who holds that a zar who did malika, that bird will still be matama beis abliya? Asked the Gemara, kol asu yamai lav. Says the Gemara, lav lasu yismal v'layla. It's coming to teach us that if it was done with the left hand, it was done at night, as Rav holds, the malika will prevent this bird from being tamei. Ask the Gemara, for that I don't need the word kol. Small v'layla behedikatani. It says clearly in the Mishnah, explicitly in the Mishnah, that those birds killed that way will not be matama beis abliya. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah according to Rav is first the Mishnah says kol, a general rule, and then the Mishnah goes down to explain it for Hadam Mefarish that small v'layla will prevent tumas beis abliya. Tashma, continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah, Zaklal, kol shir hayu psul b'kodesh, if the disqualification was psul b'kodesh, which we explained in the previous year, then the halach is enem matamah b'gan beis abliya. If it's not psul b'kodesh, the Mishnah continued, then it is matamah beis abliya. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so whenever we have such a Gemara, the Gemara implicit question is, why does the Mishnah have to repeat this general statement? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we could understand why the Mishnah added these final words to the Mishnah. Kol lasu yazar, that not only the cases mentioned in the Mishnah will prevent tumas beis abliya, but even if the malik was done by a zar, the halach is, it won't be matama beis abliya. El Rav, who disagrees, and he holds that if it was done by a zar, it will not be matama beis abliya, it will still be matama beis abliya. So the question is, when the Mishnah said the statement that ended the Mishnah, kol she psul b'kodesh enem matama beis abliya l'suyamai, what's it coming to add, according to Rav? And comments the Gemara. Ulatameich. You're saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is very understandable. According to Rav, it isn't. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed true? Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the final words of the Mishnah. Kol shloi hayu psul b'kodesh is matama beis abliya. Now, just like the previous line of the Mishnah, as we just learned, when the Mishnah made this general statement of kol she psul b'kodesh enem matama beis abliya, it's obviously coming to teach us something. Similarly, the next line of the Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says loy hayu psul b'kodesh matama beis abliya, is also coming to teach us something. What's it coming to teach us? Ella, we have to say, Reish is coming to teach us shchitas kachim b'fnim. That if somebody, instead of doing malika, as I just explained a moment ago, when it comes to kill a bird that's kachim in the Beis HaMikdash, the way it should be done is through malika. If somebody did shchita instead of malika, even though the carbon is obviously disqualified, it accomplishes so much that will not be matam beis abliya, which is a rule that Rav could agree with. Sefer, what is the sefer that says that it will not accomplish anything, is referring malikas chulin b'chutz. That if somebody, instead of killing a bird the right way with shchita, kill the bird with malika, it would be considered totally ineffective, and that bird would be matama beis abliya. So now we've explained the Mishnah both according that we offered, the Gemara has offered an explanation of the Mishnah, which could work even according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. However, says the Gemara, in conclusion, Tanya Kavasad Rabbi Yochanan. There's a Braisa that corroborates Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Because the Braisa says explicitly, Molka Zor, if the Malika was done through a Zor, Molka Pasol, or the Malika was done by somebody who's Pasol, most Rishonim say the Pasol means a Balmum, HaPigol V'Anoisva Tomei, or if the bird was Pigol Noisva Tomei, the Halach is Eimet Tamer Beis Abliya. So this clearly is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan said that if a malik was done by a zar, that much it accomplishes that it's not matama beis abliya. The mefarshim spend a lot of effort in trying to understand this line, ha-pigel v'anois v'tamei. Why is a pigel not matama beis abliya? So mefarshim explain, based on the halacha that we've been learning about pigel consistently, that the halacha by pigel is that pigel, the only problem with the carbon is that machsheves chutz l'zmanay. Everything else was done perfectly right. So now we understand the din. Since everything else was done right, that's why if a carbon, even though it's pigel, it's not matam beis abliya. Hanois ratame is even easier to understand. In fact, it may be too easy to understand. What does nois ratame mean? That you brought the carbon perfectly right, and later on it became tame. Later on it became noiser. So obviously, since you brought it perfectly right, the avoid of the carbon was done perfectly right, that's not what matama beis abliya. But the question is, that's obvious. Because nois v'tame, there was nothing wrong in the offering of the carbon. The psul came much later. So why would we even think that it's matama beis abliya? It's matama that if somebody eats that nevela, puts it into his beis abliya, he won't be tame. A nois v'tame means that if the blood was brought properly, and then it became nicer, you left it past the right time, and now somebody eats it, it's not considered a nevela that's matama beis abliya. So vadanat, it's obvious that it's not. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, and this is an issue that we've discussed numerous times, we've discussed what does Malika accomplish? Is Malika a substitute for Shechita? Or is Malika not a substitute for Shechita? If you would kill a bird, you wanted to eat a chicken tonight, and you would kill the Shechita with Malika, it's treif, it's a nevela. And it's a nevela in the Beis HaMikdash too. There's a special din that the Torah said that Kohanim can eat a chatas oif, even though it was killed with Malika. Says Rav Yosef Engel, this Gemara is a right to that opinion. And the Gemara is saying, you killed the bird with Malika. So if Malika is a Shechita, so the bird is kosher, you can't make it non-kosher anymore. But if we say that Malika is only a heter achila, we would think that that heter achila falls away if it became noisur atame. Rav Yosef Engel even says a bigger chiddush. He says, we would think that let's say the carbon ate part, the koyin ate part of the bird before it became nicer, and then he left it nicer, retroactively it should be considered nevela. A big chiddush. Kamash Mulan, that we're not concerned that it's not a nevela. So Reb Chaim Oizer makes a very interesting point, observation. He says as follows, Azor, a non-koyin, is he allowed to eat a bird that was killed with Malika? What happens if there was a carbon that was killed with Malika? So I just finished saying, and it's obvious, a kohen is allowed to eat it. Not allowed to eat it. He's supposed to eat it. He's supposed to eat the chatas oif. What would be the halacha if a Yisrael eats the chatas oif? So besides the issa that a kohen is not allowed to eat, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat kachim, would it be considered a yed in the veil? Says Reb Chaim Moshe, it would be considered a yed in the veil. Because, and it's very consistent with Reb Yosef Engel, because it is a nevela. It's a nevela that there's a heter for a kohen, but there's no heter for Yisrael. However, says Reb Chaim Moshe, and all of it is based on a ravid, says Reb Chaim Moshe, what about tumah? What would be an halacha if the Yisrael ate a kachim that would be killed, that was killed with Malika? So we just said that as far as Macholos Asuris, he certainly ate something that's not kosher. Will he be tumah? Is it considered a nevela as far as the Yisrael is concerned? Says Reb Chaim Moshe, no. If it's not considered, as Al Gemara just said, a nevela for Kayin, it's not a nevela for Yisrael. So sure, Baron Kotl tries to understand Reb Chaim Moshe. If it's a nevela for Yisrael, it should be a nevela both for Macholos Asuris and for Tumah. If it's not a nevela, so it shouldn't be a nevela for either. Where does Reb Chaim Moshe take this distinction that as far as Hilchas Achil it's considered a nevela, as far as Hilchas Tumah it's not considered a nevela? Says Reb Aaron, beautiful pshat. He says, in Achila, we find a precedent in Halacha that something could be kosher for you and treif for me. Truma. A kohen is allowed to eat truma. A kohen gets a mitzvah for eating truma. And Yisrael is chayim misav de shemayim. So when it comes to hilchas achila, there is a precedent in halacha that something can be kosher for one person and non-kosher for another person. And that's why the bird that was killed with Malika will be considered kosher for the kohen and non-kosher for the Yisrael. In hilchas tumma, says Reb Aaron, in explaining Reb Chaim Moshe, there is no such precedent that something's tumma for you and not tumma for me. If it's tummy, it's tummy. If it's not tummy, it's not tummy. Says Reb Aaron, If we see in our Gemara clearly that certainly Malika, certainly if it was done properly, there's no question, it's not the Tama Beis Abliya, so the Kohen won't be Tame, the Yisrael can't become Tame on something that the Kohen can't become Tame. And therefore we have a distinction between the Chilav of Yisrael of eating a bird that was killed Malika versus the Tumah of Yisrael eating, having in his Beis Abliya a bird that was killed in Malika. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemati Shtayim. I heard two rules. Achas Kmitza Zor. I heard one rule regarding Kmitza done by Yisrael. Vachas Malika Zor. And I heard another rule regarding Malika done by Yisrael. Achas, one of these places I learned, Tayrid, that the halach is of such, if it was done by Yisrael, it must be removed from the Mizbeach if it was put on the Mizbeach. Vachas Loi Tayrid. And one circumstance I heard that if it was put on the Mizbeach, it should remain there. But I don't know which is where. I'm a Chizkia. Tamas Chizkia. Mstabra, I would assume, Kmitza, if the Kmitza was done by Yisrael, the Aloch is Tayrid, even if it was put on the Mizbeach, it should be removed. Malika, but if the Malika was done by Yisrael, Loi Tayrid. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Malika, why are we saying Malika, we're more lenient? The Yeshna Bama, because Malika can be done on a Bama, and as we said at the beginning of our Shia today, anything done on a Bama can be done by Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Kmitz Nam Yeshna Bama. Kmitz was also done on a Bama by Yisrael. So we're using Bama as our precedent, so we don't have a reason to make a differentiation between Kmitz and Malika. V'chitem, and if you'll want to argue, the Ein Mincha Bama, that there were no Minchas brought on the Bama, says the Ein Oifas Nami Bama. These two kabbanas travel together. Because as we're going to learn in a sugi at the end of the Masechta, if you hold they brought Kabbalah Mincha on the Bama, Yesh Oifas Bama, they also brought kabbanas of Oifas on the Bama. And according to the opinion that Ein Mincha, there was no Mincha on the Bama, Ein Oifas. Why would there be opinion that there was no Mincha, no Oifas on the Bama? Because my Tama, as we're going to learn, Zvachim, we learn from the Var, Zvachim V'loi Menachas, Zvachim V'loi Oifas. So again, the Gemara is back to where it started. There's a difference between Kmitza and Malika. Chizki is assuming we could be more lenient by the Malika of Yisrael versus the Kmitza of Yisrael. Why? Obviously, he's of the opinion that they were brought in the Bama. And we can learn from the Bama that anything that was brought in the Bama, the Allah is, and Malaloi Tayrid. So why are we being stricter with Kmitza than we are Malika? Answers the Gemara, Ela'im en Kiddush b'klisharas b'mincha b'bama. So this is the way that we try to explain the Gemara. The Gemara now is saying we can learn the halacha of the Mizbeach from the halacha of the Bama. And the Gemara is assuming, and the Gemara is saying, not just assuming, that the Malika that was done on the Bama and the Malika that's done on the Mizbeach is identical. And therefore, since on a Bama, if Yisrael did it, it's acceptable. But the Eved, if a Yisrael did the Malika by the Mizbeach, it's all aloy tayrit. However, says the Gemara, the Kmitza that was done on the Bama and the Kmitza that was done in the Beis HaMikdash is totally different. Why? Because as we've discussed numerous times, when Kmitza is done in the Beis HaMikdash, after the Kmitza is done, they deposit the Kmitza into Klisharis. There were no Klisharis in the Bama, so we can't learn the Kmitza of the Beis HaMikdash of the Mizbeach from the Kmitza of the Bama. And therefore, the Kmitza of Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash is all alay tayrid, unlike the Malika. Two nice divrei Torah that I saw. Famous Gemara Masechta Brachas. The Gemara says Masechta Brachas that the Chachma Yisrael came into David Melech and he said, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Panasa. There's an economic problem. We don't have enough earnings in Klal Yisrael. So David Melech said, L'chu v'sparen suzu mezu. Do commerce between yourselves and you'll have enough. So they responded to David Melech, Ein HaKoimitz Mezbi Yisari. Posh Peshat is that they can't generate enough income just by doing business internally. Says the Panam Yafas, beautiful Peshat. Ein HaKoimitz Mezbi Yisari. What brings Parnasa to Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael bring a Karam Mincha and they burn the Koimitz on the Mizbeach. But in the time of David HaMelech, there was no Beis HaMikdash. They only had Bamas. And our Gemara is suggesting that on a Bama you don't bring a Karban Mincha. Ein HaKoimitz, there is no Koimitz, Mezbi Yisari. When we had a Koimitz, the Koimitz brought Parnasa to Klal Yisrael. But in your times, we don't have a Mizbeach. We don't have the Koimitz to bring Parnasa. Another Vart that I saw from the Sefer Chanukah HaTorah. He says there's a question in the Rishonim already. Haram Haria, did it have the status of a Bama or had the status of a Mizbeach? What would be a Nafkamina? Because according to our Gemara, if you can't bring on a Bama a Karban Mincha, one of the Karban Minchas that they used to bring, we spoke about it, was something known as the Karban Eitzim. Somebody just donated wood. Says the Chinuch Satira. With this we could understand the dialogue between Yitzchak Avinu and Avram Avinu as they were going to the Kedah. Yitzchak said to Avram Avinu, he saw that Avram Avinu was bringing all of the necessary items needed for a carbon, besides the carbon itself. So Yitzchak was a smart individual, and he immediately figured out that he's going to be the carbon. But if he's going to be the carbon, Avram Avinu is going to be an Einan. So if it's a Mizbeach, an Einan is not allowed to do the Avoida. If it's a Bama, Einan is allowed to do the Avoida. But Yitzchak Avinu said to Avram Avinu, you obviously consider the Mizbeach, you consider Har Maria as a Mizbeach. What's Uriah? Hine Eish, who eats him. You're bringing a carbon mincha, carbon eats him. But if you're bringing a carbon eats him, how can you bring a carbon eats him? I'm going to be the carbon, and you're going to be the oil, and you're going to be an einan after I'm dead. For Ayah Hasel Oila, you can't bring me as a carbon, you have to bring the Seh. Because if you bring me, you won't be able to bring the Eitzim. Continues the Gemara. Malk b'smala b'layla. We learned in the Mishnah, we mentioned it earlier in the Shir, that if the Malik was done b'smala b'layla, the Aloch is that it's not metama abeis abliya. Tanabaran, yochatei malika shilifnim metam begodim abeis abliya. We would think perhaps that a malika that was done in the Azor, in the Azara should be metam begodim abeis abliya, tamalim nevela. That it's not. Ask the Gemara, why not? If you kill a bird that's not kachu, a malika, as we've been saying in our entire shir, doesn't that make it into nevela? Elatam loimer, we learn it from the word trefa. Ma trefa, shema teres es iser, only an act that accomplishes nothing will create that the bird should be metama beis abliya. Af kosh ema teres es iser. Yotze malika, shehu lefnim, when Malika was done inside, Chayav Mataris Isser, Eim Matama Besa, Godin Besa Bliya. Hevi Amolik, Kachim B'chutz. If somebody did the Malika on Kachim outside the Azara, or if somebody did Malika on Chulin, Beim Vifnim Eim B'chutz, which again, Chulin is not supposed to be killed through Malika, but Chulin is supposed to be killed through Shechita, I would think, Chayav Eim Mataris Isser, since they aren't the proper way of taking off the Isser from this live animal, the halach ought to be the mekame begotten beis abliya. That's why we learn that they're not. That's one braisa. Tanya yidach, another braisa. Yochel teishchitas chulin lefnim. If you shecht a bird that's chulin in the azara, or if you kachim, instead of doing malik on kachim, you did shchita on kachim, and it makes no difference, suggests the braisa. Beimim lefnim meimim b'chutz. Whether you did it in the Azara or outside the Azara, that bird should be Matama Beis Abliya, Tamalayma Nevela. That only Nevela is Matama Beis Abliya. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Nevelihi. If you kill the bird that's chulin inside the Azara, not allowed to eat that bird. Or if you took kachim and instead of doing Malika, you did Shechita, you're not allowed to eat that bird. It is a Nevela. So why is the Braisa, asked the Braisa on itself, why is the halacha that's not matama beis abliya? Answers the Gemara, tamaloyma, we learn from the word trefa. Ma trefa. When we speak about an animal that has a defective trefa, shava b'fnim b'chutz. There's no difference if it's in the Azara or outside the Azara. Afkol, similarly, shava, only in situations where the halacha is that what's inside the Azara and outside the Azara have, according to Rashi's pshat, have the same level of tumah. That's when there's a loch of tumas beis abliya. Otherwise, there isn't. Yotze shechitas chulin b'chufnim, and the Gemara is going to explain it. When the animal was killed by shechita chulin inside the azara, the kachim may b'fnim b'chutz. Hoyel v'leishava b'fnim b'chutz. Since the loch is not the same both inside the azara and outside the azara, Eimetam begotten beis abliyah. That's when the Torah says the din of tumas beis abliyah will not apply. Says the Gemara. When we say that chulin, when we speak about chulin, saying that the halacha b'fnim and b'chutz are not the same, only when something is similar in the Azara and outside the Azara was the Torah mechadish the tumas beis abliyah. So when we speak about chulin, we can understand that it's not an animal, it's not a bird that's treated the same way in the Azara and outside the Azara. Why? Obvious. Because in the Azara, the way you're supposed to kill birds is with Malika. And outside the Azara, the way you're supposed to treat birds is with Shchita. Again, let's read the words. Bishlam Echavulim, L'shabim F'nim V'chutz. They're not treated the same way. Elo, Kachim, Idvi, Idi, P'sulun, and Hu. Why are we speaking about Kachim? We're speaking about Kachim that were killed through Shchita. Ask the Gemara, Kachim are never supposed to be killed with Shchita. Not in the Azara, and certainly not outside the Azara. So why are we saying that inside the Azara and outside the Azara are not the same? And since they're not the same, that's why they're exempt from the rule of Tumas Beis Abliyah. They are indeed the same. Killing Kachim with Shchita is useless both inside the Azara and outside the Azara. Amar Rava, Im Hayli Shchitas Chutz L'Chai V'Karish. The Gemara says a whole new lumdus. What would be the halacha if somebody killed a bird that's kachim through shchita outside the Azara? We've learned from the beginning of the Masechta that if somebody shechts or offers a bird outside the Azara, and kachim outside the Azara, there's a chiyuv karis. So what would be the halacha, suggests the Gemara, if somebody killed a bird outside the Azara, kachim bird, not with Malik, with Shchita, would it be considered Shchutei Chutz for Chiv Karas? The answer is yes, because you killed Kachim outside the Azara. The fact that you did it with Shchita, not Malik, is irrelevant. So says the Gemara, if we see that that Shchita is a meaningful Shchita, somebody could be Chiv Karas based on that Shchita, so it should also be considered meaningful that the person won't be Matan based Abli, that's not considered a Nevela. Because if it would be considered so meaningless that the bird is considered a Nevela and it's Matan based Abli, so it should be considered a meaningless act, why would the person be Chayiv Karas? Let's read the words inside. Amar Rava, Im Hayli Shchita L'Chutz L'Chayiv Karas L'Tayla L'Tayim De Nevela. And says the Gemara, fine, Ashken Chan Chutz. So we were able to prove that if you kill a bird that's kachim with shchita outside the Azara, why you've avoided the problem of tumas beis abliyah. But we still haven't proven, asked the Gemara, that if you kill a bird inside the Azara with shchita, a bird that's kachim, you should avoid tumas beis abliyah. Pnim min olam, answers the Gemara, hoyel v'lasham v'fnim v'chutz. Since the halacha of Nim and Chutz is not the same. Why is it not the same? Because if you kill a bird with Shchita, that's a bird that's kachim with Shchita outside the Azara, you'll be Chayiv Karas. If you kill it in the base in the Azara, you won't be Chayiv Karas. We learned that in order for there to be Tumas Beis Abliyah, the Gemara said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, they have to be together, the same. This is not the same. That's why there's no Tumas Beis Abliyah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning, Hachim, Mala kachim b'chutz nami loy. If you did malika on kachim outside the Azara, that the halacha is the malika on kachim outside the Azara, not shchita, malika, is metama beis abliyah. Why? Ihachi mala kachim b'chutz nami loy, d'lo shabim b'fnim b'chutz. Why is it not the same? It's very much not the same. Because if you do malika on kachim outside the Azara, you've done a pasul avoida. If you do malika in the kachim inside the Azara, it's perfect. That's what you're supposed to do. And we're saying that wherever they're not the same, there is no tumas beis abliyah. So the halacha should be that since inside the Azara, if you do malika on kachim, which you've done exactly what you're supposed to do, there is no tumas beis abliyah. The same halacha should be that when you do malika outside the Azara, there shouldn't be no tumas beis abliyah. Answers the Gemara. Don and David, obvious teretz. Don and Dovish Lebech Shera, Dovish Lebech Shera. In the previous case, what happened? In the previous case, We were speaking about doing shechita on a bird that's kachim in the Azara, outside the Azara. And as we've been learning in our entire shiur today, shechita on a bird inside the Azara is not good. Shechita on a bird outside the Azara is even worse, because it's shechut echutz. The point is they're both not being done properly. So since we're dealing with two situations that are both improper, they can be connected. That's why we can learn the halacha of shechita on kachim birds inside the Azara from shechita of kachim bird outside the Azara. Ask the Gemara, however, what do we now want to compare? We want to compare malika on kachim birds outside the Azara to malika on kachim birds inside the Azara. As I've been saying in this entire piece of Gemara, malika on kachim birds inside the Azara is perfectly fine. Malika on kachim birds outside the Azara is asur. So you maybe only could connect two illegal events. You could connect two legal events. But how, says the Gemara, do you want to connect an illegal event, Malika's Kachim Bechutz, to a perfectly legal event, Malika's Kachim Befnin? Let's read the words inside. Donin, Davish Lebech Sheira, Davish Lebech Sheira. We learned that Loch of Shechitas Eifes Befnin from Shechitas Eifes Bechutz. The ain donin, donin shloibach shera, we don't learn the halacha of malikas eifes bechutz, medavish bech shera, from malikas eifes befnim. Ask the Gemara, is this a hard and fast rule? That you can never learn from something that's legal. You can never learn the halacha of something that's illegal from something that's legal. Let's go back to the beginning of the shir. V'tanya, we learned at the beginning of the shir, menayin liyotze, how do we know if something was taken out of the Azara? That the halacha is, shem ola lo yered, because halacha shariyotze kashim abama. Since we find that abama, there was no problem of yotze, we could apply it also to the base of Migdash. Ask the Gemara, how can you connect the two cases? Shechting on abama, there is no rule of azara. Shechting the base of Migdash, there's a rule of azara. So this is legal by the abama, and it's illegal by azara. So we're learning now that you can't learn an illegal event from a legal event. So how can we rely on the abama? Instagram, we're not relying on that. Tana, Azois Tarasa Oila Reba Samachlay. We're not relying on learning from the Bama. You can't compare taking kachim that belong in the Azara to the case of Bama. Do you know why the halach is yoitze? If something was taken out of the Azara, like Tarit, there's a special limit of Zois Tarasa Oila that the Torah teaches us that it should remain on the Mizbeach. Actually, Davni Nezer uses this Gemara's concept to teach us a very interesting din. Here we're learning that if something accomplishes something, if it has the ability to accomplish something, the halacha is that the halacha views that as a meaningful act. What's the right? Because our whole sugya was based on the yisoid, says the Avni Nezer, that even if you did a malika that is improper, if it accomplishes so much that I'm all aloy teired, the halacha is that the halacha is I'm all aloy that that bird would not be metama beis abliya. Davni Nezer discusses the following shaila. I don't know the background of the story. It really doesn't make a difference. There was a shaykhit that was questions on his skill. So they made the following agreement with him. He will shecht first for 4 weeks, unsupervised, but in the future he may not shecht only with supervision. Another shaykhit supervising him. And then he continued shechting past the 4 weeks unsupervised. The question is that shechita going to be, what's the status of those birds? What's the status of that meat? What's the status of the pots and pans and dishes that were used to cook and serve that meat on? So the Avni Nezer says that since we see the halacha is that if you did something and accomplishes something, if it was doable, if accomplishes something, the halacha views it as not that bad. And our mission, our sugya, that if accomplishes them, all aloy teir, it's considered an accomplishment. So he compares it to this case too. Since if the shaykhit would have shechted supervised, it would be fine. Therefore, it is enough that even though he shechted unsupervised, that it should not at least prohibit the kalim. There are other poskim that disagree with Avni Nezer, because they take the following opinion. They say that the first rule that you have to have about a shaykhid is that he's a person who's a neman. He's a trustworthy individual. If we have in a situation where this shaykhid entered into an agreement that he's not going to shecht unsupervised, and he violated the agreement, so he's obviously not a neman, he's not a trustworthy person. A trustworthy person honors his agreement, and therefore there's a question on the conscience of those birds and those kalim. Says the Mishnah, Molech b'nimtzas treifa. If somebody did a malika, and the bird that they did malika on turns out to be a treifa. Remei oimer ein matam be'sabliyo. Let's understand this case for a moment. Let's start with the first situation. What would be the halacha, we've discussed this previously, if somebody did shechita, and after he does shechita on a bird, or he does shechita on an animal, he does the bedikas, and the animal is a treifa. What's the din? The halacha is it's not matam be'sabliyo, because it's not considered a nevela. But where was that? What was that talking about? That was a shechita. Here we're talking about a malika. What would be the halacha if malika was done and the bird turns out to be a treifa? So Ramei says it's the same. Just like if shechita would be done on a bird, it wouldn't be matam on a beis abliya. Ramei says the same as by malika. Yehuda says, no, it's matama. And Ramei makes the following argument. Kavachoymer. Im nevelos behema tameya. Im nevelos behema. If when we speak about nevel of behema, which we said in our previous shiur in the introductory remarks, 2 shiurim ago. Shematama b'maga b'masa. A very high level of tuma, that if you just carry or touch a nevela of a behema, you are tummy. The halacha is, as I just said, shchita mitaris trefas matumasa. Even if you did shchita on an animal that turned out to be a trefa, that tuma of nevela will not apply to that animal. Nevela sa'oif, which Ramei suggests is a lower level of tuma. Why is it a lower level tuma? She'ena matama b'magav masa. It's only matama b'beis habliya. And it din, she'tei shechitasa mitares mitarefas mitumasai. So ma mitzinu, says Ramei, and now we've effectively proven, b'shechitasa, that if you shecht a bird, and it turns out to be a treifa, she'mach shacharta l'achila, if it's not a treifa, you can eat it. And if it does turn out to be a treifa, you've accomplished at least that much that it won't have tumas oif tar. Af malikasai, the same thing when we speak about malika, shimachshata bechila, that the malika accomplishes the kachim birds, what shchita accomplishes by non-kachim birds, tetra trefas mitumasai. And that's why Ramei says that even if you did malika and it turns out to be a treifa, it doesn't make a difference to me. Rabbi Yosai medayik nevelos behema, shechita mitarasai, flemikasai. He says, no, you can't learn the halacha malika from shechita. And therefore, shechita of a bird can be learned from shechita of the animal. But that can't have any effect on the halacha of malika. Ask the Gemara, Ramei loy darish dayoy. What is the concept of dayoy? The concept of dayoy says that even if you learn a kavachaymer, you can only learn from the source, not anymore. For daya deraisa hu. The concept of daya is deraisa. The tanya. Bedin kavachoyma ketzad. The Bryce is explaining. We know, we say every morning, b'shloisha semidits hatar in the dreshes. And one of the shloisha semidits is a kavachoyma. And the Gemara, the Bryce tries to explain how are the mechanics of a kavachoyma. We all remember the parasha where Miriam became mitzaras because she spoke lashon hara by Moshe Rabbeinu. That if a father would get angry at her, she'd be in chayim for 7 days. Certainly, if it's the shechina, it should be abba sayoyim. Why? So Taisus gives 2 reasons why if a father it's 7 days, by the Hashem kavayachol it's 14 days. One pshat Taisus says that the Gemara says the shlosh shutvim ba'adam. There are 3 partners in the creation of every human being. Aviv, v'imay, v'kadosh baruch hu. The father gives 5 things, the mother gives 5 things, and Hashem gives 10. So Hashem is double to the father. So if the father would be angry, he said 7, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's double, would be 14. That's one pshat. Another pshat is we can't just create new halachic standards. We have to follow the standards that are in place. So there's a concept of somebody being tamei for 7 days by a mitzayra. There's a concept of being quarantined for 2 weeks. We can only follow those standards. So we're saying that if Hashem is more than the father, so it could only be 14 because we can't make up another number. So if we would use that lomdus, the halacha should be that she should be a mitzvah for 14 days. So from here we see that we do employ the concept of dayoi. So what's our question? Our question goes back to the Mishnah. Remeya was learning the halacha of Malika Hoy from Shechitas Hoyf. But isn't there a concept of dayoi that you can't learn one thing only from the other thing? And that, we were learning Shechita from Shechita, but you can't learn Malika from Shechita. So how do we know, ask the Gemara, how does Remeya come to the conclusion that if somebody did Malika on a bird that's Kachim, and it turned out to be Treif, that won't be Tumas Beis Abliyah?